right, we'll dismiss the kids downstairs. If you're staying with us, we'll be in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah, pretty big book. It shouldn't be too hard to find. We are going to start in chapter 1. We're going to grab a couple verses in some different spots, but we're going to start in chapter 1. Thankful for God's word. I'm glad we can trust in it. I'm glad for the book of Isaiah. It's one of my favorite Old Testament books, and I'll tell you one thing. It was one of Jesus' favorite Old Testament books as well. He quoted it a lot, and he believed in what Isaiah said, and Isaiah talked about Jesus before he ever came. So it's a blessing to think about that. And you may stop and think, well, how could that happen? How could hundreds of years before Jesus came, how could Isaiah know about it? How could he see? Well, you get to the end of the book, Isaiah, he sees things that we haven't even seen yet, things that are to come. And we think, well, that's hard to do, isn't it? That's pretty much impossible, but not for a God that's outside of time. If he is outside of time, he could put, he could show a prophet the future. He can show us anything. And I'm thankful that we serve a big God. Aren't you?
Amen.
I need a big God.
Yes.
I need a God that's smarter than me, that's more powerful than me, that has a bigger plan than me. Because when I do things solely on my own, a lot of times it doesn't work. But I'm glad we have a big God. But I want to look at the beginning of Isaiah's prophecy this morning. So Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, the people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that Holy Spirit would touch hearts and teach us this morning and convict. And Lord, I pray that we would see a complete victory this morning. Lord, that if there's any lost, that I pray that you'd touch their heart and they'd come to know you before it's too late. Any backslider would find healing, Lord. And for the Christians, Lord, that we would draw closer to you and that we would be reminded of the seriousness of your plan. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
So what we see in the beginning, Isaiah is getting the first part of his prophetic message here from the Lord, and he is giving it to the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, and their capital is Jerusalem. And he's saying here in verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me." He's reminding Judah, the Lord is. He's saying, hey, I've nourished you. I've brought you up as a nation, no different than a parent raises a child. I created you. I brought you into existence. But the problem is, the last part of verse 2, and they have rebelled against me. I can't imagine, our children are very young, but I can't imagine a parent that has raised their children and then they have turned around and rebelled against you. I can't imagine the pain that goes through that when you teach them one thing, when you show them love and then they turn from you. You know, there are multiple ones in this sanctuary that I know have children that won't speak to them right now. It has gone that far and there's a pain there, but the Lord is saying, hey, Judah has done the same thing to me. As a nation, they have turned and they're not speaking. They're not doing what they should do. They've chosen to rebel against everything that they've been taught. The next, he's talking about what a rebellious child or a rebellious nation looks like. And he talks about the ox and the donkey there. And he's saying, hey, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. He's saying, look, we may understand what a rebellious child looks like, But do you not understand that that child doesn't always see the pain that they're putting the parent through, right? They don't see that. They don't see it. And God says, I'm the parent. And you don't realize when you rebel against me how much pain it puts me in. That's what God is saying as a chosen people when they've chosen to sin and rebel. He says they weren't even considering it. They weren't even thinking about it. They weren't even realizing that they were going against him. They'd become so comfortable in their sin, so desensitized by their sin and rebellion, it just became normal life to them. That's what he's saying. And they don't even realize it, right? Because either they lack faith or they just don't care, right? We see that a lot today. People either, they don't really believe God in the judgment portions, or they just don't care if there's a God or not. He just becomes a joke to this world. The ox and the donkey and the other farm animals, a lot of them aren't that smart, right? They need help with everything. But at least the Bible's saying here in verse 3, at least the ox and the donkey, they may not be the smartest, but they know who their master is. They know who feeds them. They know who takes care of them. And the Lord is saying, hey, my people have forgotten who's taking care of them. And I was thinking about it. Just a funny little metaphor here, but imagine if a cow could talk and we listened to this cow and this cow tried to convince us that it's a self-made cow, right? I've done everything myself, right? I'm here eating in this grass, but the cow, the self-made cow won't admit that he doesn't own the field, right? And the self-made cow stays in a barn, but never built the barn, right? And then the self-made cow, you could just go on and on. He receives care from the vet and everything else, but he didn't pay the bill. And you'd think, well, that cow's crazy for thinking that. But how much more crazy was the nation of Judah for thinking that they even, anything about their existence was their own doing? Right? And anything, them even being there, right? They didn't do anything on their own. The Lord created them. He supplied them. He helped them. He gave them victories. And he said, they don't even realize that they're rebelling against me. They don't even consider it. They're not even thinking about it. Verses 4 and 5. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? And ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. You know what we realize is they thought everything was okay. They thought that with their relationship with God, that everything was fine. And here's the thing. If they would have just looked at the scriptures and realized the way that they were living, there's no way they had a good relationship with God. There's no way that was true. The Lord saw everything that they were doing, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to judge you for your sinfulness and for your backward direction. Their lifestyle were making the Lord angry. But he says in verse 5, it's so bad. He says the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. They are completely given themselves over to sin. Verse 3 says, remember, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider, right? The Lord was angry with them, yet they were still worshiping. Right? They were still offering sacrifices. They were still giving tithes and everything else and thought that everything was fine. We're God's chosen people. We're his nation. We're a seed of David. We're everything else. And the Lord was angry with them and they didn't even realize it. He's saying, hey, the whole head is sick. And Israel didn't even know it. And it makes me wonder, could that happen to us today? Right? Could we have a nation that thinks everything is fine between us and God, and in all reality, God is angry, and he's saying the whole thing is sick. Their whole head is sick. Everything with them is a problem. Would he say the same thing while we think everything is fine in our nation? If Israel couldn't see that God was angry with them, could we be just as spiritually blind today? Amen? They didn't realize it. That's why God's having to send this messenger, this prophet Isaiah, to them to try to get them to wake up and realize where they were at. Israel forgot that God had made them as a nation. They forgot that he had given them the promised land, a land that wasn't theirs. They forgot that he had blessed them and protected them and given them many military victories that they never should have won. They were outnumbered over and over again. The walls of Jericho should have never fallen with them just marching around and shouting on that last time. And on and on. They acted like it was their own doing, right? Look at us. Look what we've built. No different than the self-made cow. But guess what? I don't know if you've realized this, but we're standing in a very powerful nation. But I'll tell you one thing. If the hand of God's protection ever came off of this nation, it would not look the way it does today.
That's right.
Amen? We can't say we're a self-made United States either. Amen. You go back into history and you look at from the founding to the wars and different things like that, the Revolutionary War and on. We never should have won. We never should have made it. We can't think that we're self-made either.
That's right.
We should have been eliminated, but instead we've been blessed by God beyond measure. If it weren't for the Lord, I guarantee we would be sitting under some king or queen today, or we'd be speaking a different language like Japanese. Amen? That's just the truth. But God had his hand in it.
Yeah.
And we can't act like we're the self-made cow either. Right? We can't act like Israel either. But then the question is, what if God's angry with us today? What if he is? Well, how do we find out? Well, let's look, and we're going to skip around a few times in the next couple chapters, a verse here and a verse there. But I want to see really quickly, what did God see in Judah that really made him angry? Because if it made him angry with Judah, I don't think he's going to be happy with it anywhere else. Amen?
Amen.
If you turn over to chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land is also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures, and their land is also full of horses. Neither is there end of any chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And we see really quickly what some of the problems are right off the bat. They turn from worshiping the Lord, the same Lord that brought them out of Egypt, the same Lord that established them, the same Lord that fed them and took care of them, and they turn to idols. Amen? They turn to soothsayers. They turn to the occult. They turn from those ideas from the east, like astrology and different things like that. And the land was full of idols. Now, when we look in the Bible, and I've been, sometimes I have to remind myself of this even still today. A lot of times when we think of idols, we think of little statues or big statues of something. Well, yes, that is part of the definition of an idol, but it does not have to be a statue. It is anything. This verse is saying anything that man has made with his hands that he turns around and worships. There are people that are worshiping a whole lot of things that aren't a statue today. Amen?
Amen.
And in fact, it's even bigger than this verse. I believe it is anything. An idol is anything that turns us away from the Lord.
Yeah.
Anything. It can be an idea. It can be a hobby. It can be a job. It can be anything that will turn us from where God wants us to somewhere else. And he said their land was full of idols. Right? Not only that, that land was prosperous. Full of silver and gold, right? And treasures everywhere. Not only that, they were full of horses. They had comfort and everything else. There was no end to the chariots. So you start to put these things together, right? They had all these, today we'd call it New Age. They had old false religions that they had resurrected. They're worshiping idols and everything else. The people don't want the truth. They just want something that'll make them happy temporarily, right? They'll crave something until that fun wears off or satisfaction wears off. Then they'll move to the next thing. And you realize as you go through the Bible that the devil uses the same playbook over and over again. You realize a lot, I have noticed lately that people are resurrecting old religions even from the Bible times. Old gods from the Bible times, they're bringing them back. You know, Greek gods, Roman, everything else, they're bringing them back. Why? Because the devil says, I don't care who it is. You can use old ones, you can use new ones, I don't care. But he does the same thing. He wants you away from God. He wants you away from God's will. He wants your life. Not because he loves you, he hates you. He wants you dead. Both physically and spiritually, he wants you gone. But we see this over and over again. They're just discovering old religions and old idols and everything else. And I believe the internet's helping that, resurrecting some of these old things. But let's go over to chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. Go down to verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. He is saying this nation, they start drinking in the morning, and they keep drinking throughout the day, and they drink all the way until nighttime. Okay? Right? Verse 22, they are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know what that's saying? That the nation had turned these drunkards basically into heroes. Right? They were excited about these people. These are great men of valor and everything else in their eyes. That the Lord's saying they're just drinking all the time. Ooh. What does that look like? Turn on the TV. Turn on the TV. Watch a movie. You think you can get through a whole show or a whole movie without them drinking? Probably not. Right? They're drinking all day long. That's what he's saying. This is what they're doing. Right? But it's sinful. But what does our society do today? They can't do anything without alcohol. Have you noticed that? They can't celebrate anything without it. They can't socialize without it. They can't date without it, right? They can't go to sleep without it. They can't conduct business without it. They can't do anything without it. That's what he was saying. Can't have fun without it. But in all reality, the Bible's against it, says it's sinful, and it's destructive. It ruins lives. Makes people make choices they wouldn't have made and regret it. And for all the health nuts today, I say it's full of empty calories. I use what they tell me about things that I eat, right? How dare I eat something with empty calories? You're drinking it. What's the difference? Anyway, over and over again, God was angry with Judah because the relationship with alcohol, and they didn't even realize it. Well, that shouldn't surprise us. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It says that it's deceptive, right? And that was their problem. They were deceived in their lives. They thought everything was fine, and it wasn't. Have you met people like this? They think everything is fine in their life, but in all reality, it's ruling their life, and they won't admit it. It's deceptive. You fall for it. You're playing with fire. And I say just avoid it. Some people try to drink, just not drink so much that it starts to hurt them, but just why play with fire? Just avoid it. Okay, look at verse 20 and these last couple verses. Verse 20 in chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In those days, the children of Judah, the nation, they would look at something that God called evil and they'd say it's a good thing. Right? That's a good thing. That's something we should promote. That's something we should adopt. That's something that we should teach. And God said it's evil. Amen? That's what they were doing. They would abandon the truth from the Word of God and replace it with lies and deception. Right? And then what else? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know what that means? I'll tell you what it is today. You hear it all the time. It probably drives you crazy. This world today, there's no absolute truth, right? What's right for me is right for me. What's true for me is true for me. What's true for you is true for you. That doesn't make sense. You have to have a truth that works for everything.
Amen.
And this world's saying, nope, I'll pick what's right and wrong. I'll pick what's wise in my own eyes and head. Do you see that today? Right? If you don't see it, try telling this world today what the Bible says about something. And see how angry they'll get with you because they're right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
We're living in a nation today that's morally confused. They have no idea of what's right and wrong in God's eyes. Just like Judah. Or if they know what's right and wrong, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care what God thinks. Really, it's all that matters is what my idea's truth is, what I care about. And if you don't agree with my grand ideas, you must hate me. Right? That's what the world says today. You know what God said to Judah when they were going down this same path? Woe unto them. Right? Finally, let's look at verse 13 and 14. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. God was about to send Judah into captivity. He was about to do that, and he said, that's what's going to happen physically, but spiritually, you are going to head, you're heading straight for hell in the direction you're going. What were they full of? Remember? Idolatry, drunkenness, prosperity, pride, false wisdom and deceit and everything else. And God was angry about it. Right? He said, your whole head is sick. What can we say about this world?
Amen.
They're sick. Their minds are sick. And the Lord said, hey, I've got a nation that's my own, that's heads are sick right now.
Yeah.
And they were so engrossed with iniquity, they didn't even realize it. They had bought their own lies and believed them. And they thought everything was fine. And they said, you know what? We'll worship the Lord while we're doing it. Right? We'll have an idol on the side. Right? We'll worship the idol on Saturday. We'll come in on Sunday. And the Lord was angry about it. He said, no.
Amen.
No. So what happens? Right? What happens? We've got a nation. God's angry with it. They're not even realizing it. They're not even considering it. And from everything I'm seeing, our nation is checking every one of these boxes. So what do we do? Right? What do we do? That's where, see, God was angry, and he could have, Isaiah has 66 chapters, he could have ended at the end of chapter 5 and said, and I just wiped them out, right? I sent them all to hell, and that was it. But aren't you glad it keeps going? You get to chapter 6, and there's Isaiah, and it switches. He sees the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. The seraphims are flying around, and in verse 3, and cried, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then Isaiah sees heaven. He sees the throne. He sees the Lord on the throne. And the first thing he hears is holy, holy, holy. And look at what Isaiah's first words in response are. Verse 5, he said, woe. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As soon as Isaiah saw who the Lord really was, he realized who he really was. Amen? And this pattern is repeated over and over again throughout the Old and the New Testament. Whenever somebody sees the Lord glorified in heaven, it's the same response. The first thing they see is how holy he is. Amen. They see holiness. They see righteousness. They see purity. And as soon as they see that, they see themselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
All the deception goes away. Right? All the darkness goes away. The light gets flipped on the mirror, and they see themselves who they really are. The game is over.
Amen.
Right? The deception is over. And they're seeing, he's holy and I'm not. That's what they see. And I see it over and over again. And Isaiah realized, I can't be in a holy God's presence when I'm not holy.
Right?
That's what he realized. And he said, woe is me. But as soon as Isaiah called on the Lord, an angel went to the fire with the tongs, got that live coal, and touched his unclean lips, and now he was clean. Right? And that's a picture of salvation right there. Amen. As soon as you and I admitted that we're a sinner to a holy God and we called on Jesus' name for forgiveness of sins, he cleansed our unholy heart and he replaced it and gave us a clean heart. Amen. He forgave our sins and now we can stand in his presence. Amen. We can call on his name, not because of anything we've done, but because the holy God chose to cleanse us. And he didn't do it just by speaking it. Jesus did that by dying on the cross for our sins. He paid the price so that we didn't have to. Amen. And he rose from the dead on the third day. The nation of Judah was in trouble. They didn't even realize it. They thought they were fine. But God was angry. He was angry with their idolatry, their greed, their pride, their alcohol, them trading truth for lies and everything else. And God's response was, I'm not giving up with them yet. I'm going to send a man that will go give them the truth. Right? That's what he decided to do. And I believe the Lord is doing the same thing today.
Yes.
Right? To our nation.
Amen.
To our land. I believe he's doing the same thing. I don't know how much longer the United States will look like this. And people are saying, but we've got this great military and everything else. Let me tell you something. I already said it. The hand of God moves. It doesn't matter how big the military is. We've seen that before in the Bible. It doesn't matter. And I don't know how much longer Jesus will wait until he returns. But I know for right now, you know what God wants? He wants people that will live, even though we're living in the midst of a wicked nation whose heads and hearts are sick, who thinks they're okay with God, who's creating their own truth, who's drinking all day long. He wants men and women that will say, you know what? I will not be conformed to that. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to live a separate life because he saved me. He's called me. And guess what? Here's what happens next. It says, verse 8, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. What does the Lord do in the midst of a nation whose culture and morality and everything else is dead? I'm glad he doesn't give up on him.
Amen.
He sends true,
yes,
faith-filled ones that will trust in him, ones that are cleansed by him, out into the middle of that filth and says, you know what? You tell them the truth.
Amen.
You offer up mercy. You take my message to that nation. And here's the thing. The job of Isaiah was just to take what the Lord sent and give it to the nation. If none of them repented, it wasn't Isaiah's fault.
Right.
It's their own faults. And guess what? I'm no Isaiah. And Jimmy's standing up teaching Sunday school. We're no Isaiah. We're no Paul or anything like that. We're not popular today. We don't have a million likes and everything else. People don't know who we are. But I'll tell you one thing. We're not living like this world.
Amen.
Right? We're going to try as best as we can to stay apart from this world.
Yeah.
And to preach the truth that God has given to us. So that maybe, just maybe, a handful or 10 or 20 or however many will wake up and realize that there's more to this life than getting up in the morning and drinking all day. More to this life than bowing down to things that are made by hands. More to this life than you deciding what's right and wrong. There is a God in heaven that the whole reason we're here is because he created us. The whole reason we have a nation that's so blessed is because he allowed it to form and his hand has been over. The whole reason we're not afraid and looking outside and wondering if the police are going to bang in the door and run us, some of us, off to jail or death. The whole reason is because God has loved us. We are not self-made cows today.
Amen.
We are blessed.
Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing. You can live your own way and think you're fine, but you're not. God's angry with it. But his anger is exceeded by one thing, his mercy and love. And he's coming to you today and saying, hey, it's time to come out of that life. It's time to come out. Right? Israel as a nation. I'll just give you a little, I'll ruin the ending for you. Israel as a nation decided for the most part they were still fine. They ignored prophet after prophet. And then one day they were led away captive to the Babylonians. Right? What happened was true. Guess what? I don't want you led away to hell for eternity. And I'm willing to make you angry or irritate you or frustrate you for just a brief amount of time, because I want to stop, try to stop you in the track that you're going. You think you're right, but guess what? It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God has said is true.
Amen.
And here's the thing. I can give you passage after passage, but look at the cross. If God didn't love you, he would have never died for you.
That's right.
But he did. And he didn't just die to you so you could keep living the way you're living. He wants to pull you out of that and give you a new and a better life. And he's willing to do that today. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.